The Spotlight. It's a radio show where volunteers share stories of inspiration, share their journey, express their feelings, and tell us all about those who have touched their lives. And we play their favorite music. It is The Spotlight with Lebo, Fridays 2 to 3 p.m. on Radio Morocco.
Hello and welcome to The Spotlight on Radio Mariah. My name is Lebo and I am your host for the next hour. This week on The Spotlight, my guest is Chamunoda Zambuko from Zimbabwe. Chamunoda Zambuko is a meteorologist professional working with the United Nations Mission in South Sudan Air Terminal Unit. His work responsibilities include aeronautical weather observations, analysis, forecasting and modeling. And his main contributions to the operations of the mission is to support the safety of flying UNMISS personnel, as well as to enhance the operational efficiency of the flights. In his own words, Chamunoda says, "My assignment helps the pilots in command to make informed decisions on whether to delay, proceed, land or cancel the flight." Chamu is also a capacity builder and he has helped the South Sudan Meteorological Office to develop its professionals by giving short training courses on basic aviation weather observation and forecasting. He has trained various local and international UNMISS professionals who are currently taking a lead in sectors to provide effective weather information to the aircrew. His hobbies include outdoor socializing, dancing, fitness and exercising, as well as traveling. Chamu, welcome to The Spotlight.
Thank you, Lebo.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine.
And how has your day been so far?
Was so tiresome.
Tiresome?
So hectic, yeah.
Hectic, but productive?
Yes, of course.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Chamunoda, can you please share with us, do you have a personal motto that you live by?
Personally, I don't have a personal motto as such. Mm-hmm. But I'm the kind of a person, I always look into the future. Whatever happens at that particular moment, mm-hmm. I have to forget about it and then look into the future. Yeah.
All right, wonderful. And we've shared a little bit about your profile, but I want to let you know a little bit more about your background and where you're from professionally. Do you want to share a little bit with us?
Basically, my background, I'm a meteorologist. Being a meteorologist, it wasn't my profession mm-hmm. of choice, actually. Mm-hmm. But I just found myself in meteorology.
Okay.
Because my first program at the university was just a general Bachelor of Science in Physics and Maths.
Okay.
Then from there, I had an opportunity to go to our National Meteorological Office mm-hmm. to just have a look at it. Then from there, mm-hmm. that's when now I came to understand the requirement of being a meteorologist and all other things. Mm. So from there, I developed some interest, of course. But of course, that one did not mean that I was supposed to be to get a job in that side. After I finished my first degree, I applied to be a statistician because I was somebody who had specialized in statistics.
Okay.
Yeah, with our local recruiting system.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, I was surprised now that I was called for interviews.
You didn't expect it?
Yes. Even I missed that interview the first day because I didn't know where I could find the Met office.
Mm-hmm.
Then later on, yes, I was then given some interviews. And then after a year, I was called, get the training and start working. And I was posted in aviation. And that was in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
Up to now, mm-hmm. I've been in aviation.
Okay.
Right now, it is actually, I would say, it has become my daily.
It's become part of you.
It has become part of me, actually.
Okay. I heard you, like when we were chatting earlier, you said you usually start your day at like 6 a.m. So can you share with us how your typical day, what it looks like?
The kind of a job that I do, it's a bit, it's not something that has got some procedures.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, what you have to do is it depends on your state of mind. Mm-hmm. You have to be somebody who is in your fresh mind
mm-hmm.
because you're going to look and analyze some models. Then from there, you'll be able now to come up with a judgment.
Mm.
And when you have the judgment, you have to discuss with the pilots. You have to also somehow convince them that what you're telling them is exactly what is happening
mm-hmm.
and what also they should expect.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually hectic. I would say it's a very difficult job
mm.
at times, you know, if you are not you don't go through the normal procedures. Mm. In most cases, you might even give inaccurate information. And when you give inaccurate information, by end of the day, they still come back to you.
It'll be detrimental.
Why? But you, look, now we have delayed 1, 2, 3, 4, but this has not happened.
Mm.
So it has taught me to be accurate. So every time, I need my time to do my work.
Mm.
So I'm used to it anyway.
Okay.
Yes.
So your day ends at what time? If you start your
in
day
in most
at
cases,
6 a.m.
I would say at 6 p.m.
Ah.
1800. That's the time that I say now I finished work, and then I start maybe to relax and maybe start to read news and whatsoever.
And go on Facebook. And Chamu, can you please share with us your personal understanding of volunteerism?
Volunteerism, as far as I'm concerned, I look at it as something that has to do with giving yourself or providing some kind of your expertise to people who are in need without any financial benefit, something like that.
Yeah.
So I consider it something that one has to do out of passion.
Mm.
The fact is you get satisfaction from the people that you are providing whatever assistance.
Absolutely.
Because you are providing people who are actually in need of your assistance.
Mm-hmm.
Then you give them whatever you have, be it skills, be it manpower, whatsoever, eventually, for a thank you, actually. It is for a thank you.
Just a simple thank you.
Actually in need of your assistance.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I view volunteerism.
Mm. I love that definition of yours. So how long have you been in South Sudan?
This is my fifth year here. I came here around 2012, January.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the problem is, even though I've stayed here for a long time, a lot of people don't know me.
Yeah.
The reason is because
I didn't know
job.
You.
You see. Because every time, just wake up from my accommodation to the office, Come Sunday is a working day.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, when you are free, in most cases, can be called on for an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
What? So you are somebody who doesn't have time to relax. That's another poor challenge.
But I'm sure it's work that you're really passionate about, and you know you are driven by the passion.
Yeah, exactly.
Most of the time.
That's true.
And and what are some of the greatest lessons that you have learned in your journey here?
The truth is, since that was my first mission to come to UNMISS, I've learned a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
What was very important for me was two of the core values of United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, professionalism, I was already professional.
Yeah.
But the issue of diversity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was something that I was just starting to experience.
Yes.
To meet people of different cultures, background, mm-hmm. we work together for the same common vision.
Mm-hmm.
The issue of integrity.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've learned a lot there. And even right now, I'm a polished man.
Okay.
Even if when I go back to my country,
mm-hmm.
even those who used to know me, they know I'm a changed man. You know, integrity is something that is that constructs you.
Mm.
It makes you somebody who is trusted,
mm-hmm.
somebody who is responsible, somebody who accepts mistakes, something like that.
Yeah. And so when you're currently serving here as a UN volunteer, what is the most interesting part about your assignment?
The most interesting part of my assignment is where I do this capacity building, because, you know, my first profession was teaching, and I like teaching so much.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came here, we didn't have an office that we have today.
Yeah.
So it was actually a task that we needed people who could support such operations. And no one was able even to do anything, or even some didn't know about what is called meteorology, especially in aviation.
Mm-hmm.
People could just consider meteorology is about weather forecasting,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't know how does it apply in aviation.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I'd move around, train people in sectors, everyone. After the training now, all these people I've trained so far, I'm proud, because I meet them on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Some of them now they're experts. Some of them they even bring in new information to me.
Exactly.
Which that's what motivates me.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I feel. So I'm an important person.
Of course.
Because even in the National Meteorological Office, I've trained some other people also who right now they are running the Met Office. Mm,
wonderful.
So it's something that is so satisfying. You see, when you provide, you share your knowledge to people who are also willing to accept it, and right now they take pride in it. It's something that is good.
And it's really, really great when you actually see like the results of your work in other people.
Exactly.
And how you've actually helped to raise other people up. I think that's the best feeling.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
How did you hear about the opportunity to be UN
okay.
volunteer?
It was something that was funny to me when I came to know about it. You know, voluntarily, I said,
what is this?
Voluntarily, how could I volunteer to do the work when I'm looking for a job?
A job.
Somebody is advising me of something that is to do with volunteer work.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I had a friend. We were at school, at same school. It was doing my advanced level. And then he joined this UN system.
Mm-hmm.
In Liberia. Then from there he was recruited by UNDP in Bonn, mm-hmm. in Germany.
Okay.
So because of this social networking, that's when I met him. I started talking, how are you? How are everything? How is that side?
Mm.
He started telling me that, no, I was so. How could you do it? But is it something that is meaningful? Can you make a living out of volunteerism?
Mm-hmm.
He said, yes, it's very possible.
Mm-hmm.
He encouraged me. Then I applied.
Mm-hmm.
And
how long did it take for you to hear that from me?
It took about, I think, 3-4 years.
Yeah.
Because I missed the first opportunity.
Oh.
I was supposed to have been, I was offered an assignment in Timor-Leste.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yes, but I missed that opportunity,
mm-hmm.
Because of the connectivity.
Mm-hmm.
But then now, my second opportunity was this one.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was given, but by that time now, I think I was now in a position. I had already made a decision.
Yeah,
initially I was 50-50. Should I? If I say accept, what are the conditions?
Yeah.
Should I leave my job?
Mm-hmm.
And after all, you know, the assignments during that time was, contract was 6 months.
Yes.
I could imagine. 6 months. How about if now they say, the contract is over,
mm-hmm.
but I have lost a job now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You see, it's something that is so challenging.
But I'm sure, like, even up to now, is probably one of the best career decisions you've made.
Exactly. It's very mm-hmm. satisfying. Actually, mm-hmm. now, I've actually also advised a lot of people about what is volunteerism.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, and some of the people that I advised now, I've joined the UNV system right
now.
Oh,
wow. That's wonderful.
Yes.
Okay.
Although, you know, people just panic.
Yeah, I know. I know what you mean.
It's an issue of security. You don't know. Is this going to be helpful? In something like that.
All right, Chamu. Let's take a break. Could you please introduce with us one of your tracks that you'd like to share with the listeners?
Yes. Okay. This track that is my favorite is from Oliver Mtukudzi.
Mm-hmm.
It's from Zimbabwe. You know, most of my music, which I like, I actually like old school, that music which we used to play some time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they give me a very good picture of that particular moment.
Yeah.
So this song is called, it's from the album called Pineapple, but this one is called Todini. Todini is like, what shall we do?
Yeah.
So it talks about the issue of HIV AIDS.
Yes.
You see how unfair it is, for instance, for an innocent young lady who after he was in a relationship,
mm.
expecting that he's going to get married,
mm.
and become somebody else, and eventually found that he's HIV positive.
Mm.
You know, it's something that is so disheartening. It discourages. And especially during the time when this song was released,
mm-hmm.
that is when HIV was a real case. If you happen to contract it, definitely you're assured of death.
Yeah, because yeah. Technology,
exactly.
Medical technology
exactly.
was not as advanced
exactly.
as it is now.
So I like this song so
mm-hmm.
much.
I love Oliver Mtukudzi. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know him, huh?
Of course.
Wonderful.
Oh, Todi. What shall we do?
Tingadi.
Sinzinjan.
What shall we do?
What shall we do?
Ding-a-ding.
Since it's
Back to the spotlight, and I am here with my comrade from Zimbabwe, Chamu, and he's just sharing with us a little bit about his volunteerism journey in South Sudan. And Chamu is actually a meteorologist working in United Nations mission in South Sudan. So Chamu, can you tell me about your most memorable childhood moment that you feel really stood out for you and defined you?
I'm the kind of a person who grew up from I'm a son of a peasant farmer.
Mm-hmm.
My father and mother never worked since I was born.
Mm.
So I never knew anything that is to do with salary in my family.
Yeah.
We were people who used to till the land. We do agriculture, especially we were growing this staple of food, maize.
Pap.
So by that time, maize, there was a lot of demand.
Mm-hmm.
So after you make those... you grow those crops, you sell the produce, then from there you get some school fees from there.
Yeah.
So as a family, we are a family, we were born out of, we're eight, four boys, four girls, and I'm the last boy. There's one lady behind me. And then in that family, you know, you just grow up, you don't know about work, you don't know about professionalism.
Yeah.
You know, you are somebody who is a bit secluded. We are in rural areas.
Yeah.
We know nothing.
Yeah.
Yes, but fortunate enough, we had one of my brother who was very intelligent at school. He was doing well. It was a rural school, yes, but he performed well. That person now is the person who brought light in us. He was, unfortunately, late now. He was 10 years older than me.
Mm.
So by that time, he's the person who showed me that, no, look, education is something that is good. It can take you anywhere.
Yes.
Like I would say, it has brought me now to this system.
Absolutely.
Which I'm proud of.
Mm-hmm.
So my brother did well because he started, his profession was a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So we started to see some changes in our life.
At home.
We started to see that working can bring some change in our social life.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things, you know, we started to see a lot of things. So from there, I would say that person, he changed my life.
Wow.
And I realized that now, if I pursue my education seriously, eventually some results will yield. And this is exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
After then, I became serious with my education. Honestly, I didn't know that I could work for an organization like UNMISS, a big organization, and I could be somebody who contributes so much to some of these decisions, which I know most of you don't like when they are flying. When
I
tell
like
you that we are going to delay an aircraft,
canceling the flight.
What is happening? But no, this is for your safety. We do this to make sure that we will reach your destination in yourself.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
I absolutely love that. Yes, thank you for that testimonial, Chum Chum. It's really, really
you're
great.
Welcome.
Yeah. And and you're away from your family a lot, though. How does that absence and the distance affect you?
Yeah, actually, the distance, it's not something that is easy. But of course, we are here for a purpose. So you end up saying, no, this is, you are here to do 1, 2, 3, 4. So you have got to do it.
And you remain focused.
Yes, you've got to accept it. Even my wife is also has to accept it. Yes, but you know, there's the most challenge that at times is not good is, for instance, if you go home now, you know, maybe there's a newborn child. He's born today. You come back maybe after some time. The child doesn't know you.
Oh, no.
When you try to hold, the child is crying, you know, like a stranger. And maybe after some time, the child now starts to get used to you now. After some moments, again, you disappear. Something like that. You know, it's an experience which at times can offend you. Say, this is my child. But and you know, even these small boys, when they're just growing now, when you know, they ask you something and you tell them, they think that you don't know. They still want to go and consult the mother.
Of course.
Because they don't trust you. Because you know they are used to, all decisions are made by the mother.
Time.
So they think that maybe you are not the right person. You are telling me this. You are lying. Let me ask mom. And then you ask mom. So you see, these are some of the challenges that I would say, you know, yes, but we cannot help it. That's the situation.
I know. I mean, you know, having had conversations with a lot of people here, I call it the mission syndrome. So what happens a lot of times, because you kind of become a stranger in your own place.
Exactly.
So actually you're not at home here, but you're also not at home at home. So you just become a lone ranger, you know, all the time.
That's true. That's true.
It's difficult, but hey, you know, somebody's got to do it. Chami, can you please share with us your second track?
Okay. My second track is called Tongo Sienda. This one is a song by another Zimbabwean artist called Thomas Mapfumo. It is it's a cultural song that talks about during the revolution, during our time when we got our independence. So it speaks of, it was just a motivational song that people could sing when they are going out there. So it's just a song that was played several times when I was still growing up. So it's an old song. I think it was played, it was released in
the 80s. Yeah,
when I was still a small boy. But see, because it was played several times, even up to now, I still enjoy the song.
All right, this is Tongo Sienda by
Thomas Mapfumo. Yes.
Welcome back to the Spotlight. Thank you, Chamu, for that lovely, lovely song. It's absolutely amazing. Zimbabwean music, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. So tell me, what is the feeling that you got when you first arrived in South Sudan?
Well, actually, I was scared.
Mm-hmm.
When I came here, I was scared. I was afraid the first day that, you know, why? Because, you know, when you're home there and you start to read news about South Sudan, all these stories, even when I was coming here, I didn't make it public. It was my own secret.
Mm-hmm.
I was even afraid that whoever is going to know that I'm coming will discourage me.
Yeah.
Where are you going? There's war that side.
What's happening there? Why would you be doing this?
Are you serious? Why are you leaving your job here?
Yeah.
You want to go to and die?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And you know, as somebody else was coming from the civilian background, when you're flying there, you just think of yourself, hey, am I not going to be shot here? Maybe when you're flying, then we just...
Yeah,
crash here, something like that. These are all things that
were coming into your mind.
So I was actually in a state of
fear.
Yeah, insecurity. I was not secured.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but when I landed, starting to do the work and seeing also a lot of even Zimbabweans, a lot of people, you know,
everybody's living here.
That's when I realized now, no, it's just like another family. We are brothers and sisters, yes. Mm. Why am I panicking?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Although there was another occasion which took place again in 2013 of this civil conflict.
Yeah, yeah.
That one, it scared me a lot also.
Mm.
It was a very good experience.
Mm.
Up to now, I'm not afraid.
Yeah.
Now I'm not afraid of anything.
You know what? I always say, like, one of the things that South Sudan has done for me is it has removed fear completely.
It's true.
I'm not afraid. Like, what's the worst that could happen to me?
Exactly. Even me.
Yeah.
I'm no longer afraid of anything.
Yeah. And so, Chamu, what would you say are your greatest achievements?
Well, my greatest achievement in Animus, yeah, is I think I as I mentioned before that I managed to set up a Met office which was not existing, because when I came here, we didn't actually. It was according to my job description. It was telling me I have to do 1, 2, 3, 4 issues, but in the office I was not doing those things.
Mm-hmm.
I could be fine doing other things which has to do nothing to do with my real job.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had to consult my boss. I have to do 1, 2, 3, 4.
Mm-hmm.
Can't we do this? And he just said, okay, are you sure that this can be done? I said, yes, this can be done. He said, okay, go ahead, give us a plan. And I designed a plan, what I'm supposed to do, like this issue of training people, because we needed people who communicate from sectors, so that to make sure that we share with the information for me to be able to make a decision, make a focus. We need the actual conditions. I showed them that we have models 1, 2, 3, 4. These models are important. We have to provide flight documentation to flights when they are flying so that they have all information in their disposal.
Mm.
Wow. My boss was very happy. So that achievement, even right now, I tell you,
it's something that
we are
really
now
proud.
Providing, Animus is providing weather services to even other aircrafts like WFP, some UN agents, they also come. They just think there's a big office. They don't know that we have just very limited infrastructure.
Yeah.
But at least we are able to provide the information that is helping them.
Wow.
So it's something that I'm proud of.
Wow,
really.
That's wonderful. That's actually a great achievement. It's really, really great.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
it extends just beyond just a personal achievement.
Yes.
It extends to other people.
Exactly.
So it's really, really great.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And what survival skills have you acquired since you've been here?
Yeah, it's very difficult, yeah, of course, to say survival skills, yes. Mm. You know, wherever you are, you have to survive, you have to find a way of sustaining yourself. I'm the kind of person who enjoys, one, music. As I say, music is actually a very good therapy for me. Mm. And I like to do this, some manual exercises, not heavy ones,
yeah.
Just manual exercise. That one, they refresh my mind so much.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would say these are the two main things that I usually do, because you cannot talk of outdoor.
Yeah.
You cannot go outside, it's not safe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's either you have to be in your accommodation with the friends, maybe discussing one, two things, and then probably go for a gym or just take a walk around here at the camp. It's something that makes me going.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how has your life changed, though, by living in South Sudan? How has your life changed?
My life has changed significantly.
Mm.
I've grown.
Yeah.
Both physically and also psychologically.
Okay.
One, we were just discussing about the issue of this mission has taken away all the fear.
Yeah.
It's actually growth on that side.
Yeah.
The other thing is professionally, I've developed, I've grown. Now I've matured very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the feeling that suppose I go back to my country where I was working right now, there are a lot of things that I can change, because I've gained a lot of professional experience from this side.
And I'm sure they would love to have you back.
Of course, yes.
It's open door.
Of course, yes.
All right, Tamu, can you please share with us your third track for the day?
Okay, my third track is called Remember Me. That one was sung by a South African singer called Lucky Dube. It's late now. This man, we're singing about a story of a child who grew up not knowing his parents. And you see, it's just painful that you were just born and you have just heard of a father, but you've never seen yours, the whole of your life. So he's just saying, no, wherever you are, my father, remember me. That your son loves you.
Oh, wonderful.
So it's a song that actually was so touchy to me. I don't know why. I used to like it so much. Even right now, I actually want to play it several times.
Wonderful. This is Lucky Dube, Remember Me.
Yes.
Remember me, whatever you do, I love you. Tell you,
Welcome back to the Spotlight. My name is Lebo and you're listening to Radio Mariah. I am here with Chamunonda Zambuko, who is from Zimbabwe, and he's a meteorologist in UNMES. And he's just sharing with us his journey. And Chamu, who are the people that you feel have been the most influential in your life?
Okay, there are so many people who have influenced me. Mm. But foremost is actually some of my supervisors. Some of them actually, they've taken my heart. Mm. How? Maybe the way they do, they manage their people. You see, management is actually style. And there are some other people who are managers by... It's something that is inborn. Mm. So some of these leaders, you just... The way they do their things, because I like it, you listen to them so much, and by so doing, they're influencing you, you see. And even suppose, given such responsibilities, you also wish to maybe to be in their shoes.
One day.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yes. So basically, the truth is, there are some very good managers who know how to do things.
Yeah.
So these are the people who are influencing me a lot, and like a young person who also hopes to be a manager in future, it's something that you also pay attention so that you get new information every day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Wonderful. And you know, there are a lot of misconceptions about volunteerism. I've heard everything under the sun. What are some of the misconceptions that you have heard?
There are a lot of misconceptions. Even myself, I had a different perception.
Yeah.
Before I come here. Uh-huh. You know, volunteerism, the misconception which I've had, it looks like somebody who volunteers is somebody who is desperate.
Mm.
Or somebody actually who is maybe unqualified, or because he's desperate, there's no job, there's nothing else to do, something like that. Or somebody who is doing things maybe... In so that he could receive, maybe a gift in form of maybe some kind or something like that.
Yeah,
that was the misconception which I had. I didn't know that you can actually be a professional person.
Yeah,
maybe doing your job at the same time, volunteering to do other things. Mm-hmm. I just thought, because when you don't have anything else to do, then you just have to go and do the volunteer to do some other things. Something like
that. Well, I'm glad that you have a different perspective now.
Exactly, yes. Exactly, yes.
And what are your other interests in professionally?
Yeah, right now I think I'm trying to graduate into something that is humanitarian.
Mm.
Yes, I've done my job, which is too scientific. It's basically science.
Yeah.
And, you know, at times it's very interesting to interact with people. So right now I'm moving into, because I just did my other program, master's in disaster risk.
Oh, wow, wonderful.
Management. Yeah.
Congratulations.
So I just wanted to, I chose that program. Why? Because it could allow me to interact with people.
Yeah.
You interact with people in need.
Mm-hmm.
Disasters, crises do happen every day.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, even the other one here in South Sudan. But we need people who help people when they are in need of help.
Mm.
As I said, that it's so satisfying to help somebody who needs the help, you see.
Yeah.
So this is a new field that I'm actually moving into.
Mm-hmm.
And since I'm a meteorologist, basically, especially the issues about concerning climate change issues, you know, it's a crisis.
Yeah.
Though the crisis is a bit slow burn, people might not see it right now, but eventually the results will be seen. And some of them right now started unfolding.
Yeah.
So these are some of the crises which needs to be managed.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought it is an area that I would want to tap more knowledge in it, so that I could be able to share that information with also colleagues and people that maybe I'll be working with.
Mm, wonderful. Mm. Wonderful. And Chamu, can you please share with us your fourth track that you have that you want to play?
Okay. My fourth track is called Motherland.
Mm-hmm.
That was a song by South African musician called Yvonne Chaka Chaka.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I said, you know, can see all of my list is
everything
old
is
school,
from SADC and school, also Southern school. African.
I like the song so much, and you know, of course, it talks about love generally. Yes, you can love your mother. Of course, there is also another language which I don't understand there, but you know,
it's
music,
okay.
it's not
it's
about
universal.
Words only. It's not about words only. It also include the arrangement of maybe the tone and mm-hmm. other things, the instrument, all this.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's a song that talks about love.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. This is Yvonne Chaka Chaka, Motherland. Was Yvonne Chaka Chaka, Motherland, and thank you, Chamu, for sharing that with us. Chamu, what book do you think has made the biggest impact in your life?
It's just unfortunate that I don't enjoy reading books. That's the truth.
Okay, it's okay.
You know, probably because, you know, someone who has a background of, I'm a scientist.
Basically. Yeah, yeah.
I don't have this passion to read various books.
Talk about narratives. And
the books that I want to read maybe are those that maybe could add some form of knowledge in my professional field.
Okay.
Or probably in a certain area, specific area that I want.
Okay.
But honestly to say, I have even managed to read any book that I remember. I don't know, except unless if that is an academic book.
Okay. But that's okay. I mean, I've met a lot of personalities like that. They're like, I don't have time to be reading other people's stories. I just want to read something
it's
that's
not
gonna,
with, it's yeah. not in me, actually. It's yeah. not in me. I don't know why.
It's okay. And what is it about you personally that you feel is so special that it has the ability to make a difference in other people's lives?
Oh, actually, I'm somebody else who is very convincing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, since I'm the kind of person who like dialogue.
Yeah.
Even right now at my current assignment, I'm a team leader of even national staff and other UNVs. So what happens is that at times, if you've got your idea, you need to sell it to them.
Mm-hmm.
You should have some facts in order to convince them,
mm-hmm.
so that they would like whatever you are saying. So I just feel I have those qualities of convincing people, or even of motivating people to do even something which they were not even interested of doing. You see,
okay.
Because this has happened even at home. I could even start something that even for fun, mm-hmm. but you end up almost everyone will join you, something okay. like that. Mm-hmm. So this is what I've just seen, that it's probably something within me.
All right.
That whatever I lead, mm-hmm. others follow.
Okay.
Something like that.
Wonderful. Chamu, do you want to share with us your last track?
Okay, my last track is called Borikiriki. It's difficult to pronounce that one.
Yeah.
That song is from Botswana and Lady, and a band called Culture Spears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like this group so much, especially the dances. You know, I'm not somebody who enjoys seeing videos, but yeah. honestly, they are videos.
Yeah.
I've watched them. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of them, mm-hmm. and I enjoy the dances.
Mm-hmm.
So please play this for me. Thank you.
Absolutely. And by the way, Culture Spears is from Botswana, so I'm very proud over here. This is Culture Spears Borikiriki. Welcome back to the Spotlight, and I have been hanging around with Chamu, who is from Zimbabwe, and he's just shared with us a wonderful song from Culture Spears. And I just want to say thank you very much for spending the time that here with us, and it's been really a lovely dialogue that we've had.
Yeah, welcome. Yeah, welcome so much. I'm also happy.
Yeah.
No, that's my first time to be in a studio. And,
yeah.
You know, it's even difficult to just stand and talk in front of a microphone. It's something that I've never done.
So. Yeah, it's the first time for everything.
That's my first time, yeah, really. Mm. It's a very good experience.
And I hope that the listeners in Zimbabwe will have a lovely time listening to you talk.
I hope so too.
Yeah, yeah. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in. And don't forget that the Spotlight also repeats on Saturdays from 8 to 9 p.m. on Radio Mariah. Tune in again next week, Friday, to listen to our next Spotlighter guest. Thank you to our producer, McCreen. And this is The Spotlight. I am Lebo. Have a lovely day.